All right, let's start on the two dots on the towards the bottom of Tanach Kvedim would bet. The Gemara wants to know, where are these basic principles that the Mishnah is laying out? The principles about Toin Tanat Ganav, the principles of Ganav, and that you have to pay Shnayim, meaning that you have to pay Kefil, as well as the principles that some of these only apply, for instance, when it comes to Teshlumei Kefil, it applies to something that has Ruach Chaim and Davar Shein Bo Ruach Chaim, whereas Arba V'Chamisha is only by Shor V'Seh Bilvat. So the Gemara is going to go through these limudim, and that's why it's a good idea to have the psukim today, because the Gemara is going to spend time darshaning the psukim. So the Gemara says, Shemida Tashlumei Kefil Noheget, Menaha Nimile, Detan Rabbanan, Al Kol Davar Pesha Klal, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Seh V'Al Sama, Prat, Al Kol Aveda Chazar Uchlal. So now we have what we always know as klal uprat uchlal. Right, so this becomes a klal uprat uchlal. If you look in the psukim, it's in Shmot Perchav Bet, Pasuk Chaf. It's in the parsha of Shomer Chinam. So in the parsha of Shomer Chinam, we have this concept or this idea of kol davar pesha, which you have a klal, enumerates a number of specific items, shor, chamor, seh, and salma, and then it says al kol aveda again, which is the klal. So now the Gemara is going to see this. Iatadan elokeina prat. You're only going to look like the prat. Ma prat mifurash dover metaltel v'gufo mamon, right? It has to be something that is a movable item, as well as non-real property, as well as gufo mamon. It has to have inherent value. Avkol dover metaltel v'gufo mamon. Yatsu, what does this exclude? It excludes karkaot shein metaltelim. It excludes real property, right, which obviously is immovable. Yatsu avadim shukshu l'karkaot. Avadim, eved knani, is excluded because of the problem that they are hukash l'karkaot. Yatsu shtarot. Right, they have no inherent value. I mean that there's nothing. They representative value, but not real value. Yatzei Hekdesh, this has nothing to do with the necessarily with the Klal Prat, because it says Re'ehu Ktiv. This is the word Re'ehu. Now Gemara says, wait a minute. Ima Prat Mifurash Davar Shenivlato Metamei B'Magau Masa. Avko Davar Shenivlato Metamei B'Magau Masa. All the animals that are enumerated in this Klal Prat Uchlal, right, all of them have a din in the vela. If they have a din in the vela, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, then a common denominator between them is that they all are metame b'maga, but touching masa with carrying, and they're in the velot. Aval, what's excluded from that? Ofot lo. Right, ofot should be excluded from this. Klalu pratuchal. Gemara says, whoa, wait a minute. Umi amatzin amart halchi. Wait a minute. There are four pratim that are mentioned in the pasuk. So you just went and isolated three of them. He said, shor, chamor, and seh, which are all animals, and then you said, okay, well, we should only include nevelot that are metamei magal masa. What happened to salma? Salma is an inanimate object, and if you put the common denominator with them as well, right, that would include those, it wouldn't be exclusive to either balei chayim, and also would not be exclusive to metamei b'magal masa. So it says, Imri, Anan, Balei Chaim Kamrina. No, that's fine. We will just isolate. Whatever the pasuk says in the pratim, those only refer or relate to the Balei Chaim. So where it says, Sa'anam B'chalim Kamrina, Ema B'Balei Chaim, Dvar Shnivlato Matayim Magal Masa, In, Dvar Shein Nivlato Matayim Magal Masa, Lo. No, that we can. We'll isolate the pratim. When you want to talk about livestock, you want to talk about animals, right, then you have to look at the three animals that are in the pratim. You'll isolate those three animals. And therefore, those three animals have a common denominator of the fact that they're metamei, the magal masa, the nevela is metamei v'magasa. Why? So what does Gemara says, how could you do that? I mean, what type of principle is this that you can break up the pratim? Gemara says, daha kol chad v'chad klalu prat v'apei nafshei darshinen le. Because each individual prat can be darshined as a separate klalu prat uchlal. So that's very strange. Tosfos jumps on it right away. We have tons of lists of klal prat uchlal, which have numerous pratim in them. And the whole idea of the klal prat uchlal is to take a common denominator among the items that are there. So how come all of a sudden over here we start to darshan them as individual items? So Tosfos says the difference here is that the way it's enumerated. Because the way it says in the pasuk, it says, akol davar pesha, and then on each individual item it says the word al. It says al shor, al chamor, al seh, al sama. So he says that the word, the additional word of al by each of the pratim allows us to break down the pratim into individual klal uprat uchlal. So now what are you going to do with that? All right, so now let's see this. So we say, uprat v'apnei shei darshinen le'ev alavot lo. Imkein, Wait, if you're just going to darshan as a klal prato klal, nichtav rachmana chad prato. Right? Just write one prat. Why do I need to write, sure, chamor and seh? If you're darshaning them all as individual pratim, right, as separate klal prato klals, why do I need three separate klal prato klals to teach you the same thing? Okay, so that happens to be in the veil is not that, but the Gemara is going to do something like what you're saying, David, which is that the Gemara is going to basically say, if you just use one at a time, you're going to end up with a narrower scope of items that are included because each individual item has unique aspects to it. The more you expand the context in which the klal prato klal is, you're going to enter or allow for more items to be entered. So something similar, that's what the Gemara is going to do now. So it says, Hai nechtov rachmana, itov rachmana, sure. If I just written the word shur, hava amina karev legabi mizbeach in, chain karev le mizbeach lo. Because shur has that additional aspect, which is that it's a korban. It is kasher to be a korban. So you would think only things that are kasher the korban will be included, the kal prato chlal. Mar says, okay, so fine. Vi katav chanama chamor. If you wrote chamor, so now what is chamor? Chamor mitigates the problem of karev le mizbeach. Why? Because a chamor doesn't go on the mizbeach. So if I just write chamor, I would have mhava mina kodesh bechora in shein kodesh bechora lo, because both chamor and right shor go on the are kodesh bechora. So where it says im a right. Yeah, if you just wrote chamor, you would take care of the mizbeach aspect, but you wouldn't take care of the bechor aspect, which is that chamor would then include only things that are bechor. Can't go on the mizbeach. That doesn't mean it shouldn't include things that do go on the mizbeach. Doing go on the mizbeach is a maila in the object. So we're not going to say, oh, if you have an item that doesn't go on the mizbeach, therefore items that do on the mizbeach are excluded. I think that's not the way the Gemara looks at it, is that if you have a maila that's both unique and gives an added dimension to that object. It's something that's more important about you that will automatically include it if you take a lesser item. All right, so now Gemara says, Imre imke nechtov rachmana shor v'chamor. So what are you going to do? So take shor and chamor. So if you just wrote shor, you would have gabe mizbech. If you just wrote chamor, now you're going to have kodesh b'bchora. So well, let's just write shor and chamor. So now se lamali. So Gemara says, so then what do I need se for? So shema minala tu yeofot. Right, so we say that seh comes to, right, to include ofot. Where it says, ve'eima latuyo ofot torim dumya deseh. Demetamei begadim abet ablia. Aval avot tmeim delet behu tuma. Delo metamei begadim abet ablia lo. So then, if that's the case, so what are we trying to do? We're trying to stage through the different items that are found in the pasuk. So we stage through the different items in the pasuk, right, then you have this problem, because every time you go kain a prat, we're running into a problem. So we tried shor, it doesn't work because you have karv legam izbech. Tried chamor, that doesn't help you because that's kodesh bibchora. Now, even though, well, you said this before, so now you do shor and chamor together. Wait a minute, shor and chamor have a common denominator that they're both kodesh bibchora. But we said this before when we did this with the klal prato klal, the fact that they both are mentioned and they both are kodesh bibchora, it's unnecessary. Since it's unnecessary, right, then we automatically say that can't be the dimension that the klal prato klal is worried about. So if that's the case, it would include, right, what would it include over here? So now we have shemor and chamor would include all animals. So now the word seh is extraneous. If the word seh is extraneous, then what are we going to do with the word seh? We're going to say we're going to include ofot. So when it says, oh, wait a minute, if I want to include ofot with seh, then I have a limited ability to include it. Why? Because when we're going to include things, we're only going to include things that are mitameh, the things that have an avela, when they're killed and they're dead, that are mitameh. That is only true by ofot tehorim. So that's the problem now. Shema me'ala tuya ofot, ve'im me'ala tuya ofot tehorim dumya deseh, te mitameh begadim abeit abliya. Because ofot tehorim, when you eat them, when you swallow the tum'ah of that of ha, it's an of tahor that died, it's an avela now, then you become tameh. But with an of tameh, there is no such concept. There is no tum'ah. Aval ofot tehorim dle behu tum'ah. That don't have any set of tum'ah to them, then the lo, maybe they wouldn't be included. So where it says, kol ribuyehu. So where it says, no, we have this word kol. The word kol comes to include everything. So where it says, wait a minute, what do you mean kol comes to include everything? Tav kol ribuyehu. Is the word kol always a ribuyahu? And then we had this in the Gemara earlier. Right? We have the word kol that's found by Maaser Sheni. By Maaser Sheni, it says the Tanya v'natata kesef v'kol ashet taven nafshecha. Right? Klal. That's a klal. Balkar utzon v'yayinu v'sheichar prat. V'kol ashet tushalcha nafshecha. Chazar uklal. Klal uprat uklal. Iyata dan elokeina prat. Ma prat mufurash primi pri v'gidulei karka. Avkom primi pri v'gidulei karka. So that limits you to items that you can use to when you have your Maaser Sheni money that you take up to Yerushalayim, that you must purchase items in Yerushalayim with it to eat. It limits you to certain items. What are those items? Things that are gdulei karka, that grow from the ground, and primi pri, that one comes from the next, meaning that the item itself births the next item. So we said before that that includes basically everything. The things that are excluded are, we said, kameim and pitriot, fungus, right, that grow because they do not derive their sustenance from the ground. That's why we make a shahakol on them. Mayim, water, and dagim, and fish. So those items would be excluded from this pasuk. Again, we explained in the past that gedulei karka includes animals, even though they don't grow from the ground, but their main sustenance comes from the ground because they are vegetarians that basically eat from the produce of the ground. So Gemara says, no, Imri, two answers, and we gave the same, this was in the previous Gemara also, the same type of answers. Bikol is a klala, kol is a ribuya. Depends if you have the bet in front of it or not, because that's the pasuk by Maaser Sheni says v'natata kesef bichol shetav de nafshecha, and it says at the end the klal is ubichol asher tishalcha nafshecha. So the word bichol will be part of a prat klal prat klal. But in regards to the word kol that stands alone, like in our case in our pasuk al kol davar pesha or kol aveda, that kol will be a ribuyahu. So that's one possibility. V'baytema kol klalahu. That no, the word kol is a klalahu mia. Called Hacha Ribuyahu. This is unique in our aspect over here. Our case here is unique. I mean that in general, whenever you look in the Torah, the word kol will be used as a klal uprat uklal, or in a drush of a klal uprat in that sense. Our case here, why is the word kol being used as a ribuy instead of a klal uprat uklal? That is michtei chtiv mikara klal uprat uklal. Wait a minute. You forgot the pasuk before that. And that's what we have to look at now. If you look back in the psukim, Shmot Perchav Bet, right? Shmot Perchav Bet, pasuk vav. We were reading, or we were darshaning until this point, Pasuk Chet. But if you look back in Pasuk Vav, which is part of the same Parsha, the Parsha of Shomer Chinam, how does it start? It says, Ki Yitain Ish El Re'eu. That's a klal, right? Kesef O Kelim, Prat, Lishmor, right? Then you have a klal. So Pasuk Vav already has a klal uprat uklal in it. And then you go to Pasuk Chet, and you have another klal uprat uklal. Why do I need two klal uprat uklals? Meaning that they should all been in one klal uprat uklal. Why does the Torah separate them? It must have separated them to teach you that the second one is not a klal uprat uklal, but rather a ribuy and a miut. And that's what the Gemara is going to show now. Ktiv mi ikara klal uprat uklal dechtiv ki itein isha reyu klal kesef okelim prat lishmor hador v'chlal v'isa kadatcha al hay al kol dover peshen nami lechlal uprat hu da'ata nichtov rachmane lahati prate gai behech klal uprat. Right? Why do you need to write them down here? You should have said, the pasuk should have said, Ki Yitain Ish El Re'eu Kesef O Kelim. O Shor, O Chamor, O Seh, O Salma. Why do I need to have them in a separate location? What is El Oma? What does it come to teach you? A Kol Dover Pesha Lamalid. A Kol Dover Pesha comes here. Shema Mina Ribuyehu. That becomes a ribuy to include everything. Ki Yitain Ish El Re'eu Kesef O Kelim Lishmor. Then you have a klal pratu klal. Then you have this ribuy that includes everything. So now what are you going to do? So now Hashem Amar Kol Ribuyehu. Kolani prati lamali. If kol is a ribuyahu and everything's included, what do I need al shor, al chamor, al sev, al salma for? What does that come to teach you? Gemara says, oh, that's, I'll tell you what it's going to come to me. Chadim utei karka. One of them comes to exclude karka. Chadim utei avadim. Chadim utei shtarot. And salma is lemutei davar shenu misuyam. All right, that comes. Excellent. So show tos. I'll just finish this, and Tosas asks your question. Excellent question. So it says, the mute davar sheinu misuyam. So Rashi says, davar sheinu misuyam is that the balim don't have a siman on it. Enu misuyam means it doesn't have a siman. Tosas brings two possible other interpretations, which seem to make a little more sense, which is that either it has to be something that is a mida mishkal or minyan, that if you make a claim, it has to be a definitive claim, that you can't make a claim that I said I had a house full of raisins or a house full of grapes that you owe me. That's not a thing. If you say to me, up to the window, and the other guy says, no, it was up to the ceiling, those are defined areas, meaning that the argument has to be about a quantitative difference between them. It can't be about this amorphous measurement of the item. You can't just say it was a house full. You have to give a defined line or an area where we can measure how much it was. And that's one possibility. The other possibility is that it can't be half items. That meaning that it has to be like a whole item. You can't have half a pomegranate or half a nut. Meaning that it has to be either a whole nut or a whole pomegranate. That means davar misuyam. So now we have these four mutim. So we have to discuss a couple of things. One of them is what Shaul just asked, which is, wait a minute, before we said that avadim ahu kash the karkot, so therefore I could exclude them, right, from the klau pratuchlau on the amud bet, samach ben amud bet. All of a sudden over here, I need a separate miut for an avadim and separate miut for karka. The reason is because of the word kol. That's what Tosa says. Tosa says, I had a riboy. Once I was merabe everything, right, then I need, item by item, I need to exclude them. When I'm dealing in a klau pratuchlau, then I exclude something like real property, I can say, when skarkot are excluded, so are avadim. Because that's the way a klau pratuchlau works, meaning that it tries to come up with common denominators. A eved looks like karka in that case, so it's left out. Over here, we have kol, which is remabe everything. Once I've included everything, then I need to exclude each item individually. And therefore, over here, I need a separate limud for karkaot and a separate limud for avadim. But now you ask me, okay, if I have kol, that's remabe everything, what is the purpose of the first klau pratuchlau? I mean, it says, Ki ten isha reo kesef akalim lishmor. Now I have a klau pratuchlau, and then I have a word kol afterwards, makes a riboy. So what is the, you know, what's the whole point of doing kesef okalim? I should have just written, Ki ten isha reo kesef lishmor, and that's it. Kesef has all the definition we're after. What are we after? Is the definition here of the klau pratuchlau. We're after something that is metaltel, and something that has inherent value. Kesef has all of that. Kesef has inherent value, and kesef has what? Is davra metaltel. So just write kesef. And then have the kol to be merabe everything, and then you'll have these four items to exclude each of the, you know, these particular items. So Tosfos brings down that we have other limudim from the words kesef and kelim. We have other limudim which happened the Gemara in Shavuos discusses, but the two has to be kelim. That has to be davar chashuv shnayim, like kelim. It has to be more than one. So these are limudim we'll get to in Shavuos, but we have other limudim from the words kesef and kelim that are now somewhat extraneous factors. Second thing is, the Gemara said that it was, or the Gemara makes an automatic assumption that in Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Chet, they were talking about the same item. But is that really true? I mean, one of them is talking about Shavua, and one of them is talking about paying Kefel. So you have Shavua and Kefel, those are two different items. So the Gemara at this point thinks that Shavua and Kefel all derive from the same limud out of the Psukim. So if that's the case, right, then you can only have, right, a case of kefel when you have a shvuah, which the Gemara is going to get to in a minute to show us that only when you've taken a shvuah will you have kefel. Now, on the other hand, the Gemara, what was the Gemara doing before this? Why do I need a limud by kefel if the only way to get to kefel is through shvuah? If shvuah has limitations to when you can take a shvuah, then it has the same limitations by kefel. I don't need something new to teach me that. So Tosa says there are ways to get around that. The ways to get around that are, number one, is what about Gilgul shvuah? So sometimes you can't take a direct shvuah on an item, but we make you take a shvuah because it was megalgelet from somewhere else. For instance, property, real property, you're not allowed, you don't take a shvuah on. But if you are making a shvuah on metaltalin, we say that you're megalgelet onto the karka as well. So there are ways that you could actually create a shvuah, which would have been excluded from the pasuk, but yet, and then you'll need the limud of kefel separately. In the end, we come out to our Gemara now, which is kefel and shvuah are learnt from the exact same limud. If that's the case, that means that all dinim that apply to kefil or shvuah will be interchangeable. And that's what Tosus says over here. Tosus says this, it's not necessarily muskam l'chol rishonim, but that means that based on this, if you look in the Tosus, it's down in the widest lines. When you get to the widest lines in the Tosus, that Tosus will go two, four, five lines down in that Tosus, the widest lines in the Tosus, five lines down. He says, l'fi mashi perashti, the kefil or shvuah kol echad, they all come from one limudhi, just like we say by shvuah, right, that always kelim are shnayim, that's the only way you can get to a shvuah. Achanami linyan kefel, the same din will apply to a kefel. V'chein, and the other way around. Hada matin and davar shinim musuyam, over here by kefel, when we exclude something that's enu musuyam, havi ben linyan shvuah, ben linyan kefel, it will apply both to shvuah and kefel. V'heich afilu heichadish v'adei gilgul. Even if he takes a shvuah, they giggle, which would overcome the problem of exclusion from shvuah. But davar shenim shvuah, potu humi kefel, you still be potu from kefel. That's basically what Tosfos says. The difference from the beginning of the Gemara to the end of the Gemara is, in the beginning of the Gemara, we had two separate limudim, one for shvuah and one for kefel. Why did you need a separate limud for kevel? Because you could have circumvented the shvuah problem by doing a gilgul shvuah. That's why I need a separate limud for gilgul for kevel. In the end, the Gemara learns shvuah and kevel from the exact same limud. That means in the years that they're dinim that are unique to shvuah that are now going to apply to kevel, basically. So originally we had to learn these things, meaning that there were dinim that were unique to shvuah, and then there were dinim that were unique to kefel. So Tosafot asks, why do I need the dinim of kefel? Because I already know them from shvuah, because you can't get to kefel without a shvuah. And he says, because I can get around shvuah, and then I'll get to kefel. But that means, according to the Havamina of the Gemara, the way the Gemara learned, that meant that if I circumvented shvuah, then I got to kefel. The only things that will be excluded from kefel are things that are particular to kefel, meaning the klal prato klal by kefel. Now, the way Tosafot concludes that kefel and shvuah are learned from the exact same din, that means that requirements by shvuah, even if I circumvent shvuah through gilgul shvuah, will still apply by kefel. And those things that are particular to shvuah will also have application by kefel. That's the year. All right, so now the Gemara dealt with only a number of issues, which is that the Gemara dealt with akol davar pesha, which is the ribui. It dealt with shor chamor sev salma, which are the miyut, but it didn't deal with the last klal, which we had used before, was akol aveda. So what do they do with that additional ribui of alkol aveda? So that's what the Gemara is going to deal with now. So the Gemara says alkol aveda. So what are you going to do with the alkol aveda? The Ketura bichir ba'avod. Amar bichir ba'av. Amar biyochan. Atoin tanat ganav be'aveda. Mishalem tashlumei kefel. And that there's an ability to end up in a problem of kefel when it comes to toin tanas ganav by aveda. Shneamar alkol aveda. Asher yomar. What is the case here? The case is where he is a shomer aveda. He finds something. He's holding on to the item to give back to the original owners. The original owners show up and said, I heard you're holding on to my item over here. You found one of my lost items. He says, you know what? I did have it, but it was stolen from me. So he says, I'm stolen from me. I'm a shomer chinam. I'm a shomer chinam, at least according to the opinions that hold that he's a shomer chinam, or even he's a shomer sachar. Right? If he takes shvuah to protect himself from gzeiva, and then we find out that he stole it himself, it wasn't stolen from him, he's going to pay kefel to the baalim. That's toin tanat ganav ve'aveda. How do we know that that applies by aveda? Because of alkol aveda. That's where we learned that out from. So tanan hatam. The Gemara is going to bring down two cases here by tanan hatam, mission that's further on in the Masechta, and the Gemara wants to know, how do they know these dinim? Heichan ikdoni says, where's my pikadon that I left with you? I'm like, it was lost. Says Mashbiach Ani, he says, you know, I'm make you swear, you know, take a shvuah. The case from Aramein, he says, yes, I take a shvuah. Ve'edim edim oto shachlo. And the edim come along and say, you know what, he had it for dinner last night, it wasn't lost. Meshalem et hakeren, he just has to replace the item because he was toying tanat avad, that it was lost. V'hoda al piatzmo, on the other hand, if the edim don't show up, but he admits on his own volition, he admits that he ate it and was not lost. Shalem Karen v'chomesh v'asham. He pays the principal plus a chomesh plus the asham that he has to bring with the asham gzelot, which is enumerated in Vayikra Hey, as well as we have a limud, but the asham from Naso, right? Not really the part of our sugya here. Heichan pikdoni, another case. Where is my pikadon that I left here? Malog nignav. It was stolen. Mashbiachani says, I'm making you take a shvuah to that effect. Maramein, he says, yes, I'll take a shvuah. Ve'edim edim oto sheganvo. And then edim show up and said he stole it. Meshaleim tashlumei kefel. Then he pays kefel in that instance. Hodim atzmo, if he admits on his own to it, then meshaleim keren v'chomesh v'asham. Again, he pays keren v'chomesh v'asham because that's a din in asham gzelot. He does not pay kefel because he's modeh b'knas. Kefel is a knas, he's modeh b'knas, is patur. Tani miha. But what do we see from this? That first of all, toein tanat ganav d'meshaleim tashlumei kefel. That if he makes a ta'ana, a shomer, that makes a ta'ana, a shomer chinam, that makes a claim that it was stolen from him, if he's found out to be the one who actually stole it, he pays kefil. Aval b'toyin ta'anat avad, lo mishalim tashlumei kefil. But if he makes a claim that it was lost, which also is poter him, and then he's found out to be lying in that instance, he does not pay kefil. Vafilu, toyin ta'anat ganav b'shvu'ahu d'mishalim tashlumei kefil. And again, only if he takes a ta'anat ganav, when he takes a shvu'ah, does he pay kefil. If he did not take the shvuah, he would not be obligated to pay kefil. Gemara wants to know, menahani mile. We just enumerated three principles. What's the source for these three principles? So we're going to go back to the psukim again. But they have three principles. One principle is that if you're towing tanat avad, if you make a claim, a shomer chinam makes a claim that it was lost, which does patem, make him patur from paying back the balim, and then he's found out to be lying, he only has to replace the object, he does not pay kefil. That's one principle. Second principle is if he's toin tanat ganav, if he claims that it was stolen from him, and then it's found out that he stole it himself, then he pays kefil. But that's exclusive to one case. That's only if he took a shvua to the effect that it was stolen from him. If he does not take a shvua, even though he made a claim of tanat ganav, he will not have to pay kefil. So now the Gemara says to Tan Rabbanan, where do we know this from? Im yimatzei haganav. Right, there's going to be two limudim here. The Gemara's going to have two limudim, and they're actually going to argue about the source for this. So you look in the psukim, it says im yimatzei haganav. That's in pasuk vav, perchav bet pasuk vav. Talking about the first verse, it says zechitein ish areu kesef akalim lishmar vigunav. It was stolen. Mibet ish im yimatzei haganav. If the ganav is found, yishalem shnayim. He will pay twice as much. Now Gemara says im yimatzei haganav bitoin tanat ganav akatu medaber. Is it talking about someone who's making a claim that was stolen from him? Maybe it's talking about someone who stole it himself. The thief himself must pay shtayim. Kshomer im lo yimatzei haganav. Wait a minute. Oh, there's a im lo yimatzei haganav is the next pasuk zayin. If the ganav is not found, right? Betoein tanat ganav al katuv medaber. That must be a case. What? Where it's toein tanat ganav? Why? Because look, if you look in the pasuk vav, it says im yimatzei haganav yishalem shtayim. In Pasuk Zayin, we begin a new header, which is Im lo yimatzei haganav. And then all the way at the end of those Pasukim, at the end of Pasuk Chet, it says, Yishalem shnayim nereyu. He ends up paying double to his friend. Wait, if the ganav is not found, why is he paying double? It must be a case where the claimed ganav is not found, but he's found. The shomer is found to be the ganav. And therefore, he has to pay Yishalem shnayim nereyu. So if that's the case, right, the Gemara says, no. And so the Gemara, based on this limud and this explanation, and this braisa, is saying this, that the first case looks like it's talking about ganav, but then I have a second case which says Yimlo Matzei Ganav, which is talking about Toein Tanat Ganav, and making a claim that it was stolen from him. So that tells us, or is Mareh, on the other case that it also is Toein Tanat Ganav. So according to this opinion, or this braisa, there is two psukim, and they're both talking about the same case, a case of Toein Tanat Ganav, case where he made a claim it was stolen from him. Why do I need two cases to say that? That the Gemara will deal with in a minute. Now, Tani Yidach, we have an alternative braisa which says, Im yimatzei haganav, beganav atzmo katuv medaber. The first pasuk vav, when it says Im yimatzei haganav, that's talking about the real ganav. Somebody really stole it from the shomer. Then he's got to pay kefil. Atomer beganav atzmo eino betoein tanat ganav. Kshomer im lo yimatzei haganav, haray toein tanat ganav amur. That's already talking about toein tanat ganav. That's the second case. How many came im yimatzei haganav? What do I do with the first case in pasuk vav? Beganav atzmo katuv medaber. Must be a case of ganav atzmo. So machlokas between the braitot is that we have two cases. It's clear that the psukim have two cases of yishalem shtayim. It's two cases where you pay kefil. The first braita says both of them are talking about a case of toein tanat ganav. The Gemara will answer in a minute why you need two. The second braita says no. The first one's talking about a regular ganav that steals. He pays kefil. The second pasuk is talking about a toein tanat ganav. A shomer makes a claim that it was stolen from him, and then it's found out to be the thief himself. He pays kefil. Now the Gemara says, well, the common denominator between these braisos is the kuli amu mihat im lo yimatzei haganav betoein tanat ganav ketiv. The second, the pasuk in Zayin, is definitely talking about a case where a shomer makes the claim of toein tanat ganav. My mashma, how do you know this? Amarava, it says im lo yimatzei kemash ne'emar ella kishu atzmo ganvo yishalem shnayim. How do you read the pasuk? What does it mean? Im lo yimatzei haganav. And then at the end of the psukim, I told you, the end of Pesach Chet, it says Yishalem shnayim nereyu. What do you mean? How come he's paying double if the ganav's not found? It must be im lo yimatzei kimash ne'amar. He's not found like what he says, meaning like he the claim that he made that it was stolen from him, but rather he was found out to be the thief, then he'll pay shnayim nereyu. Now the Gemara says the second thing we saw from the earlier braitos is minalon de bishvua. How do you know that you have to take a shvuah to be chayav when it comes to toein tanat ganav? D'tanya, we have a braisa. B'nikrav balabayit el elokim. It says in the pasuk, if you look in pasuk Zayin, it says, im lo yimatzei haganav, which we're interpreting now mean that he makes a claim, right, that there was no ganav there. It says, v'nikrav balabayit el elokim. So they go to the elokim, im lo shalach yol adom imelechet reyu, to make a claim. The shomer goes and says, I did not touch, I did not take, I did not use this item that you were maskid with me. Now what does it mean, v'nikrav balabayit el ha-elokim? Right, so it's, truthfully it could be read, v'nikrav balabayit el ha-elohim, or it could be read as v'nikrav balabayit el ha-elokim. Right, so in one case it's kodesh, which means that he's taking a shvua. Who do you take a shvua to? You take a shvua between you and a kodesh baruch hu. But as if I read it as a chol, v'nikrav balabayit el elohim, that means that it's referring to beis din, right? Because beis din is sometimes referred, the dayanim are referred to as elohim. So is it, does this pasuk mean that he has to go to the Dayanim, or does it mean that he goes for a Shavua? That's what Gemara says. Ata, so it says, v'nikar bala bayit alukim l'shavua. Ata umer l'shavua, oeinu elu l'din. That's what it means for din. Nemar shlichud yad l'mato, v'nemar shlichud yad l'malo. So what does that mean, shlichud yad? So I just showed you in the pasuk Zion, it says, im lo yimatzei aganav, v'nikar bala bayit alukim, im lo shalach yado mimelechet rehu. That's pasuk Zion. If you go down to pasuk Yud, Pasuk Yud is in the parsha of Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar is taking a Shvuat. Shvuat Hashem tiyeh ben shneim, im lo shalach yado b'melechet reyu. So over there it's explicit. Explicit by Shomer Sachar, when it talks about Shliach Yad, that he has to take a Shvuat that he didn't touch or he didn't take the item that belonged to these Balim. So there it says Shvuat Hashem, and it uses the term Shliach Yad, Shalach Yad. So the Gemara is going to say, we're going to draw a parallel. Nemar Shlichat Yad b'malo. Right, it says shlichud yad mato by Shomer Sachar in pasuk Yud. Never shlichud yad malo in pasuk Zayin. Malo halan shvuah avkan shvuah. Just like by Shomer Sachar, it's obvious that it's a shvuah because it says shvuat Hashem yeb shenehem. Also avkan to shvuah. So over here, when it says nikra balabait alulukim, alulukim means to God, meaning the shvuah that he's taking a shvuah over here. So now, according to this, first of all, what was the Havamina? The Havamina was what? That in the Krav Abayit Lukim, Rashi makes an unbelievable Havamina here. Havamina of the Gemara was that either it was Shvu'ah or Din. So what would you think? Shvu'ah means that if I take a Shvu'ah, you'll be Chayav for 20 Tanak Ganav. If I don't take it, then what? Then I'll have to go to Din. What does it mean that I go to Din? So Rashi claims that means that I'll pay for it, pure own, that I have no out. If I make a claim of Ganeva, Shomer Chinam will have to pay. You have to pay up the money. So that's what the Rashi says. A lot of the other, like the Marshah, the Maram, everybody jumps on Rashi and says, I mean, what do you mean he has to pay? If he has to pay, isn't that one of the definitions of a Shomer Chinam? Shomer Chinam is Patur from Geneva and Aveda. So what do you mean that he's going to pay over here? I'm sorry? Right, but that's the point here. The Gemara's Havamina was that we don't know if this word, Vinikav Balabayit Alukim, means Shvuah or Din. The Gemara was, at that point, in the Havamina, the Gemara's not sure that it's Shvuah. Could have been Din. What's the alternative up to Shvuah? That's what Rashi's trying to clarify here. So Rashi says it's Piron. The other Machronim, and Rashi himself in Perakam Afgid, interprets it differently. He says, no, that what Nikav Balabayit Alukim, if you said Elohim, meaning Dayanim, would mean that he wouldn't require Shvuah. If he just comes to Beis Din and makes that claim, he'd be chayav even without a shvuah. That's the havamina of the Gemara. Not that he would pay anyway. Not that he would be chayav even without a shvuah. The conclusion of the Gemara is, we have shlichud yad by Shomer Sachar, we have shlichud yad by Shomer Chinam, so that we know it's shvuah. So now, we have the answer to our question about, first of all, how do we know it's talking about Twain Tanat Ganav? Because Twain Tanat Ganav is im lo yimatzei. And we know that im lo yimatzei is extraneous because we already talked about Ganav in Pasuk Vav. So therefore, it's im lo yimatzei like he says, but rather otherwise, then he pays kefil. So that's Twain Tanat Ganav. How do we know that only Twain Tanat Ganav with a shvu'ah is chayav? Because that is because v'nikrav balabayit alukim. How do you know v'nikrav balabayit alukim is a shvu'ah? Because it says, l'milo shalach yado. It uses the term shliach yad, which is used in Pasuk Yud by Yashomer Sachar, which says, shvu'at Hashem yeh b'chneem, shalach yado. So we know that shliach yad is a din in shvu'ah. So now the Gemara says, bishlamo demanda amar chad b'ganav, v'chad b'twain tanat ganav. Now I know why I have Pasuk Vav, and I have Pasuk Zayin in Chet, because I have two cases. I have a case where there's really a Ganav here, and he has to pay Kefil, and another case where the Shomer claims there's a Ganav, and then he turns out to be the Ganav, so that's why I have two Psukim. Elamanda Amar, the first Brisa which suggested that Amar Tavayu between Tanat Ganav, Trey Krai Lomali. The first Brisa that suggested that both Vav and Zayin Chet are talking about the same case of Twain Tanat Ganav, why do I need two Psukim? Amre, Chad, Limute Tanat Aved Umanda, right? So that one of them comes to exclude the case of Twain Tanat Aveda. That it only applies by Tanat Ganav and not by Tanat Aveda. So the answer is our third problem above, which was how do you know that it's only by Shomer Chinam, only by Twain Tanat Ganav is he Chayav Kefel, but when he's Twain Tanat Aveda, he is not Chayav. That's because I have two psukim saying it only applies to Ganav. One of those two psukim comes to exclude Aveda or Twain Tanat Avad. Now the Gemara says, okay, well that's good according to one who says they're both talking about Twain Tanat Ganav. Well, the Manda Mar Chad B'Ganav, V'Chad B'Twain Tanat Ganav, Dil Milarte Miyater, he doesn't have an extra Pasuk, the Me'ute Tanat Avad Menale. How does he know that it doesn't apply to Twain Tanat Avad? So the Gemara says, because it says, Mi Ganav, Ha Ganav. So in the pasuk, it says im lo yimate. It should have said im lo yimate ganav. When it says im lo yimate haganav, you're using what is otherwise known as the heya yidiah. But the heya yidiah here, as Tosfos points out, means that it's miyuchad. But it's exclusive. It's an exclusive type of hay, not the heya yidiah in the sense that we know this ganav. But I say in the miyuchad that this case is exclusive. Been exclusive to Ganav and doesn't apply by Toin Tanat Avad. So Gemara says, Uluman Damar Tavayu between Tanat Ganav, Dimiat Le Toin Tanat Avad, Ganav Haganav, my Darish Bey. So according to one who says that the Psukim are both talking about Toin Tanat Ganav, he already excluded Ave Toin Tanat Avad from the fact that there's repetition of Toin Tanat Ganav. So then what does he do with this Ganav Haganav, right? This extra hay here. I need this for I needed to teach me that what? He's exactly like a ganav. What's the din of a ganav? A ganav pays kefel when he steals and he's found out. And a ganav, if he steals a shor and a set, and he's toveach it, right? Or he was mocheret. He shechted it or he sold it, he'll pay four or five times. Does that apply to Toin Tanat Ganav? That's exactly what that Breisa or that Manda Amar, that Tana believes. That Ha Ganav teaches me that he's exactly like a Ganav. And therefore, if a Shomer makes a claim on a Shor of a Seh, and he says, listen, this Shor and Seh was stolen, and then we find out that he actually shechted the Shor, he's going to have to pay back the Balim, not Kefel, but Arba, right, Ve Chamisha, depending on the Shor of a Seh. So I says, all right. The man domar, right? Chai beganav, chai betoin ganav, dai ganav, haganav, afke limute tanat avad. According to the Bryce or the Tanu, said that there's one pasuk talks about a ganav. The other pasuk talks about toin tanat ganav. So therefore, what did he exclude? He excluded from toin tanat ganav. He says, how do I know that avad is excluded? Toin tanat avad is excluded from ganav, haganav. Then, how does he know the din, right? How does he know this din of the Rabbi Chir Bar Abba Minole? Where does he know the din of Rabbi Chir Bar Abba? He says it's a hekesh, vei mishivin ala hekesha. We have a hekesh. What's a hekesh? So Rashi points out here, what's a hekesh? Hekesh is a juxtaposition of two different dinim in the psukim. What do we have a juxtaposition over here. What are the juxtapositions? We have pasuk vav. According to this, Tanav talks about a regular ganav. We have the next pasuk, zayin and chet, next psukim, that talk about a toin tanat ganav. So they're right next to each other. Since they're juxtaposed, and since they're juxtaposed, they will share. This hekesh will allow them to share dinim. The din that they will share is this din of arba v'chamisha. Now, the reason you have to say ein mishivin, we don't answer on it, is because it's not necessarily true. If you did it through a regular svara, through a logical argument, it would not work. Why? Because a regular ganab who steals pays kefel even if he does not take a shvuah. Whereas a toin tanat ganab only pays when he takes shvuah. So there's a chumrah by toin tanat ganab. This is a chumrah by Toin Tanat Ganav. It may not apply, right? Or there's a unique, or it's actually a kula that he only pays it when it's a shvuah. But I'm saying it's a unique part of the case of Toin Ganav. Then maybe you would not learn from Ganav to Toin Tanat Ganav. So therefore, you need something called Hekesha. Hekesha says that I overcome any logical argument. It says the juxtaposition of psukim allowing you to make a limud that is, right, without any logical questions are asked on it. We don't ask any questions on it. Where does he know a regular ganav from? If you say learn it out of a kalvachomer, if this is a toin tanat ganav, he gets punished. Like, certainly a ganav. Then you're going to be limited to the dinim of toin tanat ganav. What's the limitation of toin tanat ganav? It'll only be done after a shvuah. So then there will be limit. Only Gneva, the time you will pay kefels if you take a Shavuah. Right? We don't want that to be the din, right? So the Gemara says, he learns it after time to be Chizkiyah. The Tanya, B'dan Be'chizkiyah, Yomar, Shor u'Gneva, V'akol Bichlal. I'll say Shor and Gneva, and everything will be included. What's this Shor Gneva that he's talking about? He's talking about a Shor Gneva, which is actually found in the Psukim, right, above. What is this? What does it mean in the Psukim above? If you look in Perchavet in Pasuk Gimel, right, there's a Pasuk, Im Himatzei Timatzei Biyado HaGneva Mishor Ad Chamor Ad Sechayim Shnayim Yishalem. There you go. You got a pasuk that talks about a ganav that's paying kefil. So that's where he learns it from. Right, we have this pasuk. Mitana bechizit. Tana bechizit. Yomar shoru gneva v'kol bechlo. So when it says, I have the pasuk above. Yimetzei temetzei b'yadua gneva mishor ad chamor ad tzechayim shtayim yishalim. There I know. I know kefil from that pasuk right there. Where it says, wait a minute. Ilukach chayitumer ma prat mifurash karev l'mizbeach avkol karev l'gabi mizbeach. What do you mean? How can you just use Gneva and Shor? I mean, why do you need Chamor and Seh and Chayim, all these other words there? So he says, Ma yesh l'chavi. So what are you going to do? Seh. So I have the extra word of Seh. So what I now you say, Gemara says, Shomer Seh, Hari Seh Amor. I already know Seh because I could have learned Seh out from the word Shor. Seh and Shor have the same characteristics. Right? They both have a Dina Bechor. They both are carved them as Beach. They're both Balei Chayim. They're both animals. So therefore, the addition of the word Seh is extraneous. How many became Gneva? They're about Kol Davar. Yeah, so therefore, it includes everything. So it says Yomar Kol Davar. It says they're about Kol Davar. Yomar Shor Seve Gneva, but Kol Bechlal. Says I would include everything if I had Shor Se and Gneva. Everything would be included. So Mar says Ilukach Chayti Umer Ma Prat Mefurash Davar Kadosh BeBechora Av Kol Davar Kadosh BeBechora. There's a common denominator between Shor and Se, which is that they are Kadosh BeBechor. They're Kadosh BeBechor. Then how can you make it? You can't include everything. So Gemara says, "Ma'yesh lechalavi chamor." So what are you going to include chamor? Wait a minute. Chamor also has the same characteristic of being what? Has the same characteristic of being a bechor also. It's kadosh bechor. Shemar chamor, are we chamor amor? My chamor is already stated, meaning that we could have included it from shor and set. Ha mani mekneim gneva the rabot kol davar. So what do I do with the word gneva? Yomar shor chamor v'sev gneva kol bichlal. So I just have all these items. Gemara says, wait a minute. Iluka chayitomer ma prat mifurash balei chayim. Wait a minute. I could. These three items have a common denominator, which is that they are all livestock. If they're all livestock, then only things that you're going to pay kefil for are livestock. Av kol bal chayim. So Gemara says, ma yesh lechalavi shar balei chayim. So what are you going to do? What does that include? From these pratim here in the klau pratuchla, what are you going to include? Other livestock. It says kshuomer chayim. There's another word there that says chayim. That already includes hari chayim amur. I already have all balei chayim included. How many mekayim? So what do I learn from this? Geneva, they're both called davar. So from this, I learn geneva includes all things. Since I have each one of these words, shor, chamor, se, and then finally to get chayim, chayim is an extraneous word. So since I have these extraneous words, which would have taught me everything that I could learn from the other items, so therefore from this limud, this klau, what it seems to be, what the Gemara is calling right now, a pratu klau, right? Therefore, we're going to include all items that are going to be included for kefil. The Gemara, which we're going to do tomorrow, is going to ask a basic question on this, which is that the formulation of the pasuk is not a pratu klau, but rather a klalu prat, right? Because it says geneva first, which is the klau, and then it enumerates the items, which is a klalu prat. A klal prat in a dan el kemashu beprat. You only learn what's in the prat. You don't include everything. So that's the Gemara's question for tomorrow. So again, up to this point in the Gemara, right? We'll just explain the two brightot. We had a question where we know these dinim of first of all that the only applying of kefil is by toin tanat ganav with a shvuah, and number two that does not apply to toin tanat avad. So we had two ways to learn this, and that all came from two tanaim. One tana believes that the psukim by shomer chinam, both pasuk vav and Zayin and Chet, Psukim Zayin and Chet, are talking about Toin Tanat Ganav. I have two Psukim that talk about Toin Tanat Ganav, so that's how I know Toin Tanat Ganav pays Kefel. How do I know that Toin Tanat Avad does not pay Kefel? Because I have two Psukim that say Ganav. One of them teaches me Ganav, the other one teaches me Ganav and not Toin Tanat Avad. Alright, so then, what else does he learn? He also has the word Ganav, Haganav. So what does Ganav HaGanav teach me? It teaches me that Toin Tanat Ganav has the exact same dinim as a Ganav Atzmo. What is the exact same dinim? That means that he pays Arba V'chamisha. He pays 4 and 5 times. Where does he know basic Ganav from? This Tana, he knows basic Ganav from Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel is Imatzei Timatzei, and from there we just did this whole limud that shows us that you could include everything is included for Gneva, that one who's Gonev will pay Kefel. So that's one Tana. The other Tana learns like this, that Pasuk Vav's talking about a regular Ganav. Pasuk Zayin and Ched are talking about Toin Tanat Ganav. Okay, if that's the case, I know about regular ganav. Now I know about toin tanat ganav. How do I know that it doesn't include, right, a toin tanat avad? He learned that from ganav haganav, that only by ganeva does it apply, but not but by veda. Well, on the other hand, where does he know? Where does he? How is he going to know that that we learn out that arbo and chamisha apply to a toin tanat ganav? He doesn't have a ganav haganav. That the Gemara says, no problem from that. That I don't have a problem from. Why? Because I have a hekesh. I have two psukim. I have pasuk vav that's talking about a regular ganav. And I have zayin chev, which is talking about toin tanat ganav. So I have a hekesh between them. So anything that applies by ganav will also play by toin tanat ganav. And therefore, ganav teaches me kefil and arba chamisha. So too, by toin tanat ganav, you'll have toin kefil and arba chamisha. So that teaches us the two dinim. One is that it only applies by toin tanat ganav. Number two, it does not apply by toin tanat avad. The last thing we need to learn was that it was a shvuah. Only by a shvuah does toin tanat ganav work. That we learn out from what? V'nikrav abalabayit elokim. That he has to come to elokim. The Gemara says, is elokim mean the Beis Din or does elokim mean shvuah? I learned that out from shlichus yad. The word in the pasuk zayin, it says shliach yad v'ya shomer chinam. In pasuk yud, it says shliach yad v'ya shomer sechar. In the pasuk yud, it says clearly shvuat Hashem b'yeh b'nei shnehem. So we know when it comes to Shliach Yad, we're talking about Shvuah. So that means Nikrav Balabait Elukim is also talking about Shvuah. So therefore, a Toin Tanat Ganav will only be Chayav Kefel when he takes a Shvuah. Okay, we'll stop over here.